Welcome back to another podcast. We've been trying to record this one for a while now. I've had this idea for 5 or 6 months of wanting to sit down and actually record it. And time just kept going by and by. So the last time we were going to record this, we were going to try to do it as recording time of our lives to see how we were feeling before we were going to be parents.
Yes.
And then that next day we went into the doctors and then we became parents.
Yes. We thought we had time. We're like, oh, we'll do it tomorrow. And the universe had other plans for us.
So. Yes. So now we are here. Our daughter Naomi is now just over 3 weeks old. Thankfully to you, you were able to get her down successfully for a little nap.
Don't speak too soon.
And we wanted to sit down and record a quick conversation, record at this time of our lives, and just kind of discuss a little bit of how we're feeling, what maybe some of the expectations that we had coming up to this point before becoming parents. And everything that led us to this point in our life right now. That's the idea behind this episode. Hopefully this comes out to what the idea was 5 or 6 months ago. The perspective is obviously going to shift, but we're here now, and let's get into it. Again, always with my long intros. You feeling good? You ready to go?
A little sleep deprived, but I feel good.
Yes, I just had to put some eye drops in because I was looking very, very tired from getting up at 5:30 this morning. You've been the abundance of getting up in the middle of the night for the past 3 weeks now.
Just getting used to it. It's all good.
Are you getting used to it?
Getting used to the sleep deprivation.
I don't know if that's good to be getting used to sleep deprivation. You just manage and I guess keep moving forward, I guess. I have no idea. I'm not going to give you advice on it because I don't know.
It'll get better.
Are you sure?
I think so. That's what everybody keeps telling me.
People say it gets better, and then also they say that it doesn't get better because they're 2 years in and 3 years in and still sleep deprived. We'll see if that happens. Okay, so our daughter Naomi is born. Let's go back in time. High level, Morgan, how would you explain the story of Naomi coming into our lives and us radically adjusting our lifestyle from wearing backpacks and being pretty leisurely of just going through Southeast Asia and South America to now coming back home in Findlay, Ohio?
Well, I don't think we've kept it a secret that Naomi was a surprise for us when it happened. We were 2 years in on traveling and backpacking and had plans to see other countries yet and all kinds of stuff. And then at the end of our trip in Colombia, we conceived the child that we didn't know about yet, I guess. And we found out when we went to Ecuador, halfway through our Ecuador trip, and we had been planning a rainforest trip yet in the Amazons. We were planning to go to Bolivia. We had plans to go to Guatemala and Brazil yet to go visit all of our friends in Brazil. And so we found out that we were expecting, and basically we just canceled all of the other plans and said, okay, we're going to go to Brazil yet because we want to see everybody in Brazil that we know. And we'll do that, and then we're going home, I guess. So that's kind of just what happened. We're just like, okay, this is what we're doing.
It's rolled with the went with the cards of life and just went with it.
Yep. So we had to do a very fast life change, I guess, because we weren't
Well, we didn't really change our lifestyle too fast on that process of finding out, but it was our perspective changed dramatically overnight.
Yes.
And I've already talked about it, the story of us finding out in Ecuador in the one video of reflected on last year and everything, so we don't need to go into that too much. But yeah, we were in Cuenca, Ecuador. a feeling was in the air. We took the pregnancy test, and that was the moment that our lives were changed. And this was sometime in June, right? Mm-hmm. I figured out, and my gosh, it's already almost March of 2024 now. So we're coming up on a whole year ago, and I'm so far behind on videos and wanting to get all of our travel videos done just because I have ideas and I want to get them out there. But then I have projects like these that just delay them.
That's okay.
So, yeah. And it's been good. I guess originally we were going to talk about how we were feeling. Were we ready for this? Mm-hmm. Were we ready to become parents? How was your mindset, I guess, after moving back home this last fall and us adjusting our lifestyle? Me going back to work, you working for a little while with your mom. Did you feel prepared for this major life event? Quite possibly the biggest event of our lives.
No, I don't think I felt prepared. I was preparing myself, but I don't think that there's really any way to feel prepared for your first kid.
No.
Just you don't know what to expect. I mean, I've been around tons of babies in my life, but I've never had and raised one of my own. So it's a whole different ball game.
Yeah, it's hard to explain, but like we were doing our best of trying to get ready.
Yeah,
we needed to try getting some income, generating income, having a place to settle down for a moment, and just started reading. I guess that was our biggest thing. I was probably listening to some podcasts and reading and listening to books.
Yeah,
and that was our biggest influence of trying to prepare as best as we could.
Yeah, I was reading a lot of books, and I was just trying to get myself prepared by reading books, and everything I read didn't matter anyways because the birth did not go as planned at all. But
what was the original plan? Just a brief, if you want to talk about that a little bit, how did we go in with the idea of expectation, and what were the ideas of how we wanted this to go out.
So basically we were preparing to do a pretty natural birth and delivery and everything. And then with no induction and no epidural and all of that good stuff. And then I ended up having to be induced because of reasons. And ended up with the epidural and ended up with the C-section. So it's kind of the exact opposite of what we were preparing for.
Yeah,
and I had no signs of labor, so like everything I was reading about how when to go to the hospital and all of that stuff, it didn't matter because we just ended up going in and getting induced. So
yep. Yeah, so as the old tale goes, you can be as prepared as you think you'll be, and life has other plans.
Yep.
Because everything said look for these signs, look for this expectation, make sure you have all your plan ready, have your bag ready. And then that was flipped upside down.
Yeah.
At the very end of January.
January 31st, yeah.
But on February 1st, we were gifted with Naomi. And aside from the lack of sleep, everything's been fantastic.
Yes. We'll take the lack of sleep.
Even though we were trying to prepare, do you have any thoughts on the books you were reading? Would you still think that was a good process to have for a somewhat of a preparation for us? Did you enjoy the books? Do you think that they're worthwhile, or recommendations for anybody else who might be on this path themselves?
For sure. I think I read
Iname's Guide.
Yeah, Guide to Natural Childbirth or something. And a lot of it is about like home birth or birthing in a home center, but it also is applicable to natural birth in a hospital, which I wasn't going to do the home birth thing. But I thought that it was very useful for trying to like learn and get prepared for like how to handle a natural childbirth. But of course I didn't get to put any of it into practice too well. So
it's a bit of a mental game though, of like, you know, of the 9 months of just want to be mentally.
Yes, for sure.
Occupied or ready with some idea.
Yep.
Because that's much better than going in. I was trying to
mentally prepare myself, for sure.
Yeah. And the book I was mostly consuming was The Birth Partner. And that was just a detailed book of, you know, how to be a supportive partner during the whole process of pregnancy and labor, and what to also signs to look for, plans to have, et cetera. And again, it was just, we were thrown into it. And that's fine. It's totally fine. And then fortunate enough that we live in a modern age where there was signs and hospital support and everything to be able to go down the path that we had to go down to have everything done safely. Yes. And that's awesome. So.
For sure. And yeah, I mean, you can read and research as much as you want, and you're never fully going to be prepared for childbirth your first time.
No.
It's all new. So you can try to get as prepared as you want to be, and you're, like we said, things don't go as planned, or you just, you really don't know what to expect until you're there. So
100%. And I know that there's been a funny thing that people have told me about, like, their first kid was, it really said, never sets in until, like, the hospital's like, okay, you could go home.
Yeah.
And you're like, I guess I just go home with a baby now, and now I have to make sure that I can do everything right to keep this baby alive.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I was going to say earlier. Like, throughout the whole pregnancy, I don't think it ever really felt real. Like, until we had Naomi in our arms, like, that's when it, like, set in. Like, okay, we actually have a baby now.
Yeah, for sure.
And I was blessed with a very easy pregnancy. So, like, I was like, okay, content. This baby can stay in here and keep growing, and yeah, and then that's when it felt real, just once you have the baby.
Yes. Given we were in the hospital for a few days, honestly, though, when the hospital was saying we could go home, I was very fortunate of just, like, ready to get out of there. I was ready to, like, okay, let's just go home now.
Yeah. And I don't think I really had that feeling of, like, being scared of taking Naomi home.
I agree.
I think we were just ready to be out of the hospital and have our bed and
yes,
just do our own thing here.
And have our bed that we still can't sleep in until you get woken up every 2 hours.
Yeah. I was actually, from having the C-section, kind of wishing for the hospital bed when we got back, though, because it was so hard to get up and down out of bed so many times at night.
Yep.
But
yeah, and on that note of being back home, I'm also fortunate enough where I didn't get any paternity leave with my job, but I am able to work from home, work remote, and that's been a huge help of just helping you postpartum and helping with Naomi and being here and just being able to be with you guys has been awesome. And a lot of parents don't get that dual partnership of being home 24/7, and I'm okay with it. I don't want to go back into the office. And, you know, being able to cook, clean, be here, it's been awesome. So
it's been great. Yeah. Jake takes his lunch break and makes me lunch and gets me my water. And
she throws her dirty clothes at me and dirty plates and spits on me and just turns the TV up louder when I'm on my work meetings. As my work office is right off of screen. We're in our living room. We're in a studio apartment.
He's got two offices, one upstairs. So
No, that's all jokes. Everything's been good. I wanna try working from home as long as possible. I'll keep this up. and you know, let's get to see Naomi grow. She's already up over 2 pounds from her birth weight. And to be here for those moments is incredible.
For sure.
Time's flying by. 3 weeks was a blink of an eye.
Yep. We're not halfway to a month. I mean, we're that almost 3.5 weeks is what I'm trying to say. Almost to a month old already.
Yeah. How's your major sentiments outside of feeling blessed and grateful for everything now? And tired, obviously. How do you feel now that you're a parent and that we're parents?
I feel good. I feel like, I don't know, that just kind of comes pretty natural. And I mean, even Jake, who's never been a natural with babies, just with with our daughter, he's just kind of picked it right up and jumps right in. And I mean, him holding newborns before our newborn was like, I don't know what to do with this thing. And now he's just like a natural dad. So
yeah, it is very weird to think about, actually, how those instinctual habits might come out a little bit.
For sure.
And Yeah. I guess we're just parents now, right? Yeah. Still trying to do our best and give her little stubborn baby a good life and make sure she doesn't have too much trauma from the hardships of her life of getting her diaper changed and getting fed.
I know. She has a rough life.
There was one thing that was very, very stressful of coming back home and dealing with planning a birth and pregnancy was, you know, we're coming back from South America. I was in the middle of job searching, moving, et cetera, and all the other things of life. But the most stressful thing was trying to figure out health insurance, navigating that whole industry, planning for what could be this major, major expenditure of not knowing. You just don't know what's going to happen and you don't know how to plan for something like that. And the insurance industry is so incredibly frustrating. I could make probably a 2-hour rant on on that whole world.
Let's save that for another
time. Yeah. But just with our experience with it, you know, it's another thing that brings me into realization of how insurance makes people, it's intentionally confusing. That is my impression of it.
Yeah.
And it's intentionally scary to people. Because they have that threat lingering over people's heads that, hey, if you don't have health insurance,
you could have an emergency and
you're going to have an emergency and you're going to have to declare bankruptcy because of all of these bills piling up. And it's just so frustrating. Like, again, we're fortunate enough to the situation we're in where we can try to do our best to plan. We had a few months to get that stuff figured out. I worked for the internet company to have insurance. And then we were exploring other options for health insurance the whole time. And when I had my one moment of getting like super frustrated was when we called the Findlay Hospital of, you know, shopping around of where are we going to have this baby? Where are we going to have the plan?
And hypothetically, if we don't have insurance, what is this going to cost?
So do you remember that phone call of how that went down? If you want to go into that of us calling the Findlay Hospital.
Yeah. I mean, basically we were just asking like, okay, so if we come here for our appointments and for the delivery, how much is this going to cost us out of pocket, say, if we don't end up having insurance? And she's like crunching some numbers on the other side of the phone. And she's like, oh, it's just going to be like $40,000.
Yeah, just as a casual.
Very casually. And we're like, okay, we're going to keep looking into other options. And
yeah. And then it's just so frustrating. Like, who? 99% of people are just not going to have $40,000 to throw at a birth or a pregnancy. And it's just so silly and absurd that you just tell somebody that over the phone who obviously doesn't have insurance. So that means that you're not wrapped up in a whole plan with your, with an employer and everything and insurance with the employer. And it's just so frustrating. And then like people hear that, and then they get scared for the unknown, and people will not be willing to make that jump to leave that company that they're frustrated with because they're scared about losing whatever X health insurance plan package that they have with it. And it's just so silly and frustrating because that shouldn't linger over people's heads for their plans.
Yeah.
And fast forward, I mean, just to not over-disclose or overshare information, we didn't have to pay that out of pocket. We had ended up having the insurance that covered pretty much, well, hopefully all the costs. We'll see with all the pending and charges coming in. But with all of the pending charges that are getting charged to the insurance, it's up above $40,000.
Yeah.
And just, it's so, I don't know, incredibly frustrating that people have to deal with this on an everyday basis. Because there is employers who don't even offer insurance plans. And then you go shopping around, you look to see what's offered, you can pay this much money. And there's another instance of dealing with this health insurance for my situation with employers packages and looking into them in detail and not having an employer paid health insurance package, you think, okay, well, it's just gonna be deducted out of my paycheck. And then I was doing the numbers, come to find out that, like, if I were to sign up with this one package that I would be paying for out of, because the employer wasn't paying anything, it was just offered through their services of being employed by them, and I would have to pay $20,000 per year or more just to have us covered for health insurance.
Yeah, to have insurance that you might use or you might not use.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, people don't have just another extra $20,000 of disposable income just to spend on health insurance. It's like, oh my God. I don't know the answer, but I know that there has to be people out there who have had way worse experiences with health insurance and bills and hospital bills. And we know firsthand from people we know that have, maybe not for pregnancies or births, but like dealing with hospital bills and insurance. And then to bring it full circle, Pearl, your grandma, was here the other weekend, and she brought up the price of her having a baby in the hospital. So what did she say with that just two generations ago?
My grandma's 93, mind you. So she said when she was having her first babies, the doctor delivered them at home, and it was
so 70 years ago.
70 years ago or so. Anyways, her bill was $35 to have the baby delivered at home. And then she said it went up just a little bit when she's had to start going to the hospital. But
a written note just as a, hey, you owe me, this doctor, $35 to have this baby. Fast forward 70 years, you go into the hospital, and then that turns into $40,000.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happens, but that's a situation that we have here in Ohio, at least. It's unfortunate. Like I said, luckily we got our stuff figured out with the health insurance that is paying and covering the cost. I don't think people are that lucky all the time.
No.
I know people who are self-employed that are also dealing with this issue where, hey, God forbid you try to go be a small business and offer health insurance for your employees and yourself, and then you don't have birthing and pregnancy covered on your packages that you are paying for.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, so I'm running a small business, and now am I going to have to, we hear the first cry on the baby monitor. As we both like to see if she's gonna make
it. She has her swaddle on, which she hates when she's awake, so she's probably gonna start grunting here.
So yeah, we can wrap most of this up. Like I said, I didn't want to turn this into a 20-minute rant on health insurance.
I think it's been 20 minutes.
So, but and so I don't know. Just our experience, it's something that we had to deal with, and I think it's worth sharing.
Yeah.
I think that it's incredibly frustrating, and people are dealing with far worse situations than what we had to deal with, and it just sucks. So thankfully for us, we got it worked out, and I hope the best for the people that have to deal with dealing with money and insurance and all that crap that you shouldn't have to deal with on a daily basis.
Yeah.
What a stress. I don't think she's making too much noise.
She might be doing it in her sleep.
And
no crying yet. So
as I'm talking about insurance and work, that was another life change. Was I went 2 years without working.
We went 2 years without working.
Yeah. Yeah. I was making videos and having a blast doing that, and, you know, focused on just being creative and trying to develop storytelling and writing and a completely different skill set from engineering, from what I went to my, I guess, I don't know what you call it, official accreditation for education.
Yeah. I mean, and we were just living pretty carefree and traveling from here to there and not really on much of a time limit or schedule. We were just like, oh, we'll see where we go, see what happens. So maybe we want to stay here longer, so we're not going to plan too far ahead.
Yes. I think that might have been the most daunting thing for me coming back was, like, not that we're about to be parents or that we're going to be moving back home for the time being. It was like, how am I going to devote 8, 9, 10 hours a day to working a job again? Yeah. After I spent the last 2 years unwinding from that schedule and now to be going, diving right back into it head first, very critically needed to bring a better income for us to sustain our life.
Yeah, that was for sure the biggest change for us because we're not planners at all. And then, so we have this thing now, okay, we're bringing a child into the world. We need to make some sort of plan for this. And we're just not planners. So that was just like, okay.
Yes.
First off, we need jobs. And
yeah. And I was in disbelief of how tough it was to find a legitimate job that I felt was worthy of my experience and pay that, okay, I'm about ready to devote 40, 50 hours a week to a company. And the offers I was getting back were for engineering position with almost over 4 or 5 years with a corporation and engineering and pipeline. And I was getting offers for like 50, 60 grand. And I just was like, I can't justify my time for a salary like it. And it sucks. I mean, like, I don't know how privileged that is. I know because there is people that do that and have to do that. But I'm just like I said, I spent 2 years unwinding and I'm like, I'm not about ready to give up this time of my life for a pay like that. I'll just work my video business.
And your perspective definitely changes when you realize like how much your time means to you.
Yes. And my gosh, like, the biggest thing that we've learned, I would say, in the last 2 years of how important time is, how it's limited. That's the one resource that you can't get back, you know. So money is money. Yeah. You know, okay, I'll go, you know, find a six-figure engineering job, but I know what comes with them terms.
Yeah.
That's, you're not just a 40-hour work week, you know, you're selling your time for that.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a navigation of having to deal with. That's tough, you know, because you want to make more money, but you don't want to sacrifice time. And, hey, I found the jackpot with this job right now with being able to work from home and still having some of that time to be here. Definitely. And making a little more than like the $50,000 offers. And, you know, I don't know how people are able to live in today's world with a salary like that and have a family and pay for health insurance. Yeah. It just is mind boggling.
For sure. Groceries and gas and expenses.
Yes,
and
yes. Coming back to US after
mortgages. Yes. How do you say that word?
Yeah, mortgage. Yeah.
Mortgage. It sounded weird.
Morgan? Just mortgage.
Yeah, but there's a T in it.
There is. Yeah. Maybe I've just always mispronounced it.
Anyways.
Mortgage. That would be silly.
Mortgage.
And yeah. And, you know, with us not working, I guess, post-COVID world, traveling, that was when all of the major inflation and price increases were occurring in the U.S. that we just weren't occurring, we weren't incurring. And that was another shot coming back of, hey, I need to find a legit job to help pay for a lot of this stuff because
Our money could be stretched a lot further in the countries we were living in while traveling. Then coming back here, it was like a big shock, like, okay, our money's not going to last that long here like this. So,
So anybody want to offer us to come back to South America? Let's, you know, just feel free to reach out. You know, I'll quit tomorrow.
Yeah. Let's go.
Well, I can work from remote until they find out I'm in South America.
Yeah. There you go.
So maybe a few weeks.
Yeah, anyways, so Jake had most of stress with that because I was able to take the easy way out, and my mom owns a business, so I just jumped right back in and started working for her because I was like, well, I'm going to be having the baby in February anyways, so I'm going to be off. So we'll just do this for now. So Jake was doing all the job searching and difficult decisions, and I was able to just start working there. So
yeah,
which is super nice.
Yeah,
that I have that. And I mean, I can go there anytime, and if I need to make some money,
yeah,
of course my mom is always willing to have me back there. So
yeah, and hey, it's a time thing too, right?
Yeah,
you know, you don't want to go back to being a teacher right now with we have a newborn baby here.
Yeah, I really didn't like the idea of having to take maternity leave in the middle of the school year. Yeah. And having a sub, so that was the best option for us. And I mean, I basically get to make my own schedule at the store. So for doctor's appointments and anything like that, it just worked out the best.
Yeah. It's like I said, I don't know if this is coming across like we're complaining. I hope not. I just want to talk about our feelings and our experiences because I know it's just how we feel. It's just how we felt about everything. And people, like I've said it already, I know in this podcast that people have it worse off than we have. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine having more stress than what we had.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want it. I just don't get it. And, you know, we've seen so much more of the world and have so much more of a perspective on, I think, an understanding and a care for people who are worse off.
Yeah.
It sucks. I don't know what the heck the answer is. I don't know what we can do about it. I would love to be able to do more to help or expand compassion or empathy. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Monetarily through that chain, you know, but like,
yeah,
I don't know.
If only there was a simple answer.
Yeah, then yeah, this was not.
We want to have the issue, right? So
yeah, we're talking about just our experiences coming back to the U.S. You know, go back to our other podcasts about talking about the conditions in Colombia. Yeah. Or George talking about the favelas in Brazil. It's way worse than that even.
Yeah.
And you know, we're here in this beautiful little apartment that I remodeled, but no, it's, you know, it's comfortable, right? Yeah. And we have family structure. If things were to get tough, we have a support system.
Yes.
That would help out.
And a lot of people don't have that, so.
Yeah.
We're very blessed.
Yeah, yeah. It's so, you know, wow. A lot more of this podcast was more of like gloom than like the joy of life that I wanted to express.
Yeah, the joy of becoming parents and our beautiful daughter that we love so much.
Yeah, so
we didn't really bring that to the surface.
Yeah, let's pivot to that. You know, I was on the gloominess of our experiences for far too long. That's not what I wanted this to be. I wanted to talk about how amazing this is and, you know, how incredible life is. Mm-hmm. And the creation of life is unbelievable. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. The instinctual habits that you say come back, or we were watching that documentary on Netflix about the evolution of the world and mm-hmm. how the storytelling in that was the correlation of all living beings and the evolution of just creatures.
Yeah.
And like the whole birth process and pregnancy process is.
Yeah. The whole pregnancy of the baby growing and the different stages. Like it doesn't seem like it should be something real that happens.
No. You had those, what were those apps that you were using to read the facts every week on the updates of the pregnancy?
I had a couple. One of the apps is called Ovia Pregnancy and the other is called The Bump. And I would look at both of them because they each had different like milestones and compare the size of the baby to something like a fruit or a vegetable and show you what they look like right now in the womb. And it's just like, it was really cool to be able to track that and like actually understand what's happening inside my body and like what's going on. So
it's unfathomable. It doesn't make any sense, that whole process.
Yeah.
And then the natural, how the body, your body adjusts to being a parent and breastfeeding and mm-hmm. What the heck?
Dude. And just like the instincts of a baby when they come out and they're ready to start nursing, like just that they know, like, that this is what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah. One of the most incredible things in the world of seeing Naomi come out and just be alert.
Yeah, super bright-eyed. She was just staring at us, staring at the world, like, what is this place?
Take me back to the amniotic fluid.
Yeah.
Float
put me
around.
Back in the womb.
Put me back, yeah. She still has nightmares, I truly believe it, about being birthed. She wanted to stay in there forever.
She did. She was not ready to come out.
And, you know, instant, the feeling of... All right, let's wrap this guy up.
Yep.
The feeling of instant love and compassion for our daughter and how incredible that is. Like, it's unexplainable. Mm-hmm. And it's just a feeling that people won't know until they feel it themselves. You okay?
Jake's just making me emotional.
It's because you're crying because Naomi's awake now. And we
wrap it up.
So, okay. Last thing I wanted to go into.
Stop crying. Just wiping them away.
So, yes, it's unbelievable. You can't even explain it. People who might be listening to this or watching this who are parents can relate. And they know that feeling.
It's a feeling you don't know until you have it, so.
Yeah. This isn't a PSA for people to go out and have kids. I think most people I know are not, that do not want to be parents yet or in the capacity to be able to do that. I don't think we were in that capacity until we decided that we needed to be in that space. And, you know, I'm stoked we're here. And we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. To wrap this up, like I had my notes and plans of originally it was, how do we think our lives are going to be after Naomi's born? We're here.
Now we're there.
We're here now. It doesn't matter what we thought before because our lives are just sleep deprived. You know, I could be imagining this whole conversation because I haven't slept in 2 days.
And what are we doing?
Where are we? I wake up and still think I'm in Brazil. I think I'm going to go to the sauna, go surf from the George. And then I hear the baby crying. So with that idea of ideas on forecasting, if you had to guess, just for laughs, where do you think our lives are going to go from this point? It's us three now against the world.
Yeah, I honestly don't know how to answer this because I don't know what we want to do.
Like, yeah.
We always toss around the idea of moving out of Ohio to somewhere out west. We've tossed around the idea about eventually traveling with Naomi. I mean, I don't know. There's possibilities, and I don't see ourselves staying here. I will say that. But yeah. I just don't know where that's going to be. I don't know what that's going to lead us to. So, I don't know. I'm keeping my mind open and just, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
You can't really plan too well in life. So, if an opportunity opens up for us or something, then we'll see where that takes us.
Yes. And to mirror what I mentioned earlier about, we spent 2 years unwinding and changing our perspective on life and time. I don't want to lose sight of that growth.
Yeah.
You know, we can get into a routine.
It's very easy to get back into, okay, we're in Findlay, Ohio. We're just going to work and Naomi goes to school.
Yeah. And, you know, life passes you by.
Yeah.
And I think that's a constant reminder for ourselves to not lose sight of what we've learned and what we're doing, and if we have ambitions or ideas to want to go try something, take the risk, and we'll change and try it, and we'll maybe end back home.
Also realizing how fast time goes, and I mean, like, really how limited time is when Naomi's going to be little, so just cherishing all of the moments and spending time with her.
1,000%. Which is
not letting that go by. So,
yep. And, which is why we got to wrap this podcast up, spend more time with her. And I'm reading The Warfare of Genghis Khan, also known as Genghis Khan more commonly. So that's been our nighttime read for Naomi to to help her understand to become a world leader dictator.
Well, that's Jake's main goal. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, it's going well, I think. It's just a light read of Genghis Khan taking over all of the Mongolian Empire and expanding into China right now. So very nice. All right. Well, thank you for listening, guys. It's been a good update. I think it was a good conversation. Hopefully I wasn't too gloom for too long. Until the next podcast.
She's making some noises. Yeah.
All right. Congratulations, Morgan. Part of Baines.
Thank you. Thank you for listening.